Roundtable on Crick Info Talk.
Hello and welcome to the Crick Info Roundtable. Well, the first ever 2020 Cricket World Cup starts in South Africa, and some very interesting questions obviously come to your mind. What does this World Cup mean to the game? How are the various nations responding to this new entity that has come on the horizon of world cricket? And will 2020 completely revolutionize the sport? These are some of the questions that need answering. And to answer these questions, we have with us two gentlemen, Sir David Lloyd, former England batsman and coach, and very closely associated or had first-hand experience of one of the first 2020 tournaments that took place in England. And of course, Tony Greig, a man who seems to be right in the middle of revolutions when they happen in world cricket. Gentlemen, welcome to the Crick Info Roundtable.
Thanks, Sanjay.
Thank you, Sanjay.
All right, first of all, David, I'd like to start with you. I think England was one of the first countries to really commit themselves to 2020 cricket. Tell us something more about that.
Well, it was a marketing device at the beginning, and the counties themselves, the 18 counties, were pretty reluctant to take it on board. And there were reservations about all sorts of things, too much cricket and a bit hit and giggle, the public won't like it. At a stroke, all that was put to bed because it really took the country by storm in that the number of grounds that were absolutely packed, so 2 hours before the start. So what it's meant in England, and I can only speak really for what we've seen in England, is that it's what the spectators are demanding to see because they fill the grounds and they have great fun.
Tony, your thoughts on 2020 cricket, and of course the first thought that comes to my mind when I talk to you about 2020 cricket, I mean, Kerry Packer in many ways and Packer cricket changed, you know, cricket, the way it was played and marketed and presented. Do you see 2020 doing something like what the Packer series did a few years back?
Yes, I think so, in a way. There'll certainly be an impact in a playing sense. We've already seen dramatic changes in the way the game is played, the Test match game is played, as a result of traditional one-day internationals, and it's almost strange to be saying traditional one-day internationals. For me, the 2020 format, or this third generation game, has the capacity to act as a testing ground for players being considered for high honours. There's a definite connection between 2020 cricket and one-day international cricket, which means, for me, that any cricketer who demonstrates top form in this new format is going to be looked at quite seriously in terms of the 50-over game. But where I think the big change lies is what the public want. I think they're looking to cricket to provide them with a quicker fix.
David, just to go back, and you know, this is a lead-up question to your answer first. What was really that one important reason why 2020 cricket came into English cricket?
I think the speed of the game, and I hear what Tony's saying, and I fully agree with everything that he said, that it can be a testing ground. And the other thing that we have to always consider is what the public wants. And what we saw in England is that the public, in this day and age, I think it's almost a bit of a culture thing, that they want action and they want it quickly, but they also want to enjoy themselves. At the beginning, it looked as if it was billed as a young people's game. It's for youngsters, it's for teenagers, it's for early 20s with a little bit of disposable income. You know, that has changed full circle, that the number of people who are older, mature, members of the clubs, who you'd say that the membership of a county cricket club, it was not designed for you, but they're going. The member area is now full. So it's a supply and demand. It's as simple as that, that the players have bought into it big time. And what I would say, and Tony's talking about the stepping stone to international cricket at 50-over level and maybe on to test matches, what I've seen in England is that it exposes mediocre players. It really does.
David, I have to ask you this, 2020 cricket in England. You said the first year was sensational. You were completely shocked by the response of the crowd. Has it changed since? Is the crowd interest and enthusiasm still there after, say, 3 or 4 years that 2020 cricket is being played?
Yeah, it is. And I think if we have bigger grounds, we fill them. There's a cloud on the horizon that will need to be addressed, that in England, I keep saying in England, so if they play a floodlit game in England, which starts at 7:30 at night, it loses its family appeal. And you get some poor behaviour from the crowd, and you can understand why. They go into the pubs, in the area and then come to cricket. And I think that isolates young children and families. And I've been pretty vocal in England in saying that I don't think 2020 needs to be starting at 7:30 under lights. I think the latest time is maybe 5:30 when people can come from work and their office and bring the children and have a really good time. And I think that children at a 7:30 start can be isolated. And there's evidence in this last season that 7:30 starts attract poor behaviour.
Tony, do you think 2020 cricket has been accepted so wholeheartedly? I mean, people have just gobbled the concept because one day cricket was starting to bore them a little bit?
Well, I think there might be an element of that, but I just firstly like to endorse what David has said about, mothers and even, granddads and kids. We have seen in Australia a situation where, I mean, it's been such a revolution that news crews have found it necessary from all the television stations to stand outside and interview people and ask them, have you had a good day? And I mean, almost to a person, they've said, and I'm talking about mums here and children, look, this was absolutely wonderful. It didn't take too long. The kids didn't get too bored. The behavior wasn't like it normally is at some of these one-day internationals and test matches where people are in the sun. Look at us. We're not really sunburnt. And we have had a great family day at the cricket. And I mean, if cricket can expose more of that to the public around the world, then we're going to see crowds just get bigger and bigger. And so, I mean, it's very, very important that some of the things that David has just said are taken on board, because loutish behaviour is a thing of the past in cricket, certainly in this sort of cricket, if we want to encourage the families along.
Right, Tony, when you were talking to these people and seeing those interviews, did you see a lot of those fans being sort of non-cricket fans who've come because of the appeal of 2020 cricket? Fans who never cared to watch Test cricket or one-day cricket. Are we seeing new fans developing in this sport because of 2020?
Well, look, I don't really think so, Sanjay. I think that all these people are very keen on cricket in any event. They just don't like the idea of sitting on the hill at the Sydney Cricket Ground. I mean, it's rather like in India. When 2020 takes off in India, I think that the cross-section of Indians just love cricket. And, I got the feeling, listening to a lot of these interviews and watching these people, was that, they really wanted something in the summer that was as quick as, you say, soccer or rugby in the winter. They wanted to be able to go to something with the kids rather than the movies, rather than some place where they were going to play these, these newfangled games that they all play these days. I mean, you can play cricket these days on a computer. And they were trying to get the kids outside. So, no, I don't necessarily think they were new people. Look, there are bound to be some that are going to be dragged along and they're going to say, what a good day out that was. That was good entertainment. But I think in the main, down here in Australia, definitely, and I'm sure the same applies in India, most people love cricket anyhow. They just want an excuse to go and enjoy themselves.
Do you want to add anything to just what Tony has said, David?
Well, I have been amazed that in India, it's an absolute storm, because I think it is tailor-made for the younger people to get involved and to watch cricket. Whether the cricket watches or not, we have evidence that there's a lot of females that are now starting to go along to watch cricket because of 2020. And also in England, they package it pretty well in the UK in that you can take your children along and there are play areas that they can participate in cricket skills. And, what Tony's saying, that you're not sat there for 6 or 7 hours. It's done and dusted and you come away and everybody has a smile on their face. And I've been amazed that in India, it's been a bit slow to catch on, really.
Well, 2020 cricket, actually, I have knowledge that it took birth in India in a domestic tournament in Bombay about 3 years back. And I just spoke to the organizers yesterday, and they were saying that last time it was held, it was in a big stadium which is built in New Bombay, one of the best stadiums, by the way, that I've seen in India. And they had crowds of 20,000-30,000 watching local cricketers, play in this 2020 cricket.
Yes.
So it's just waiting to, waiting to explode in India. Now, some of the purists' concerns that are coming up because of 2020 cricket, which I have to ask you, gentlemen. Tony, some of the people, the real, hardcore followers feel, how are we going to get those great cricketers, the greats of the game, you know, because it seems like 2020 cricket will have a different set of cricketers, you know, 50 overs will have another set, and test cricket will have another set. So where is that one great cricketer that we seem to be obsessed with finding in a generation?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. A lot of the old boys will be saying, as they have done for years, you know, you really need to hang around for about an hour before you should be playing any shots. You know, it could be argued that you're more talented if you can go out there and play shots right away rather than have to spend that hour blocking to get your eye in. So, I mean, you know, there is an argument that says that, for me, that says that the best cricketers will play in all these forms of cricket. The problem is going to be how we fit them in. I mean, you know, Adam Gilchrist, for example, down in Australia, I mean, he's a walk-up start for, you know, all three forms of the game. You know, the boards are going to have to, and the ICC are going to have to try and work out something that allows everyone to play. But, you know, as far as, we don't want to get too caught up in how different this game is from test matches. We're very lucky in cricket. We've got more than one game. Most other sports have got that game and that's it. We've got this wonderful, you know, if you like, you can liken it to fast food, where kids love going. Sanjay, I'm sure you love a pizza now and again, but you also love fine dining.
I also know your kids do not like fast food too much, so I don't see them going to 2020.
Look, I just think that, you know, I've always said that, you know, there's obviously a place in this world for the McDonald's hamburgers and the Kentucky Fried Chickens, and we all hope that our kids are going to graduate to fine food and to, you know, perhaps French dining at the end of the day. So I just think that there is a definite place there for this. And I certainly won't be one of those people getting caught up in criticising the way that the players play this game, because
right.
It is going to be played differently.
Right, David. You know, the analogy given here was fast food and then fine dining at the right at the end. You know, people maturing or graduating towards fine food. Do you agree, even at this stage, that Test cricket is finally the highest level of the sport? You could excel in 2020 cricket, one day international cricket, but test cricket is the real test. Is it the fine food that we are talking about?
Yeah, it is. I mean, test cricket is the ultimate. And again, that you speak to the players, they aspire to be test match cricketers. And all the rest is hors d'oeuvre, if you like. But there's that obligation to the public that we've got to entertain. And if the public are filling cricket grounds, we put it on a really good show. I've loved every game. It has been absolutely fantastic. And on player skills, I mentioned earlier, it exposes mediocrity big time. You've got to be able to be mobile, you've got to run, you've got to throw, you've got to catch. And if you can't do those things, we in the commentary box have a hell of a laugh. We think it's hilarious. And we name and shame and let's have a look at him, mess that up. And all the best players in the UK, all the best players of cricket are the best players of 2020.
What about bowling, gentlemen? I'm imagining that 2020 cricket takes root and 80% of international cricket, say 20 years from now, is 2020 cricket as one day cricket is today. How do you think, you know, young kids watching 2020 on television, do you think it's ever possible for them to aspire to become bowlers after watching what's happening there on the cricket field?
Well, I think, I mean, if I can just come in, I think we also have an obligation on your reruns and your replays to look at the slower deliveries, the deliveries of deception, when you're trying to fool the batsman and the amount of skill that goes into it and practice. And I think we can make that attractive and fun for young players to be bowlers. And it's no accident. You go along to nets and watching young kids, suddenly one of them will come out as a quickest bowler and deliver out of the back of the hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that is from one day cricket. It's from watching what the great exponents of bowling Yorkers at will at any time and bowling a slower delivery, an off-cutter, which went out of the game for years. Leg cutters and off cutters were never in the game. They're back in now.
Sanjay, sure. You know, if the batsmen are going to come out and play shots as they do in 2020 cricket, it seems to be logical to me that the plight of the bowler is going to improve because he's got a better chance of getting wickets. I mean, let's just for example take a guy like Chaminda Vaas and the great job that he's done over the years bowling thousands of overs in the heat down in Sri Lanka in test matches where he's got to just bowl and bowl and bowl. I mean, isn't it more fun coming in and having to bowl four overs and guys having a go? I mean, you could argue that it's actually more fun for the bowlers not having to go through that arduous routine of Test match cricket.
So do you think, a lot of people feel that there's too much cricket already and 2020 cricket is going to add more burden, there could be players burnout. But who knows, you know, if 2020 cricket really becomes popular, then actually that might solve the burnout problem. As you mentioned, Shamin Davar's not needing to bowl those 10 overs every second day in one-day cricket and just bowling 4 overs in a 2020 game. David?
Start at the very top. I think that Test cricket is sacrosanct. I think following on from that, it needs careful management by the ICC and the boards to ensure there's an attractiveness about the game and that the players are looked after properly. And I'm a big believer in you've got to have rest periods. There must be rest periods, but there's got to be a lot of practice periods and preparation before you play. And I think we've got to try and ensure that that's all adhered to, because the product has got to be spot on for the public. I always put an analogy to a racehorse will run every day, but it won't win. It'll run, but it won't win. It has to be prepared. And I think a cricketer is similar to that, but we have to be mindful of what the public want.
Right, Tony, if you can, any youngsters listening in, what would be the qualities that a very good 2020 player would need, the important qualities that he needs to work at to become a successful 2020 player?
Well, the thing that I love about it, and the thing that I would be promoting, is that he really should be working at every aspect of the game of cricket. The more he can involve himself in batting, bowling, and fielding well, the better. You know, one of the problems with kids with the established game of cricket is that they end up down at third man and don't get into the action too much. Whereas in 2020, you know, we can encourage the best 2020 teams are going to be teams that have guys that can bat well, that can bat down the order, that can bowl a bit as well. You know, you can swap things around, and above all, they can all field. So it seems to me to be more of a game that involves everybody.
Right. I think that can only do good for cricket, and maybe that is one reason why India has been a little slow to catch on, because India is one of those nations where you don't feel that, you know, every cricketer is a great athlete. So maybe that is where India might just struggle a bit, from my personal viewpoint. Final question, gentlemen. Where does this leave one-day international cricket? Say from 20 years from now, 2020 cricket becomes popular, establishes itself. Where does that leave one-day international cricket? Starting with you, David.
Well, I mentioned that the authorities have to be careful. Again, in England, we fill the grounds. Our stadiums are tiny. We could do with bigger stadiums, and they're filled for every form of the game. There is a move in India through the media that 2020 will take over from 50 over one-day cricket. The media will speculate on that, whether it's the red-top media or the broadsheets. I personally think there is room for all three. But given that, as I've mentioned, careful management, I think, as Tony put it brilliantly, it's three parts of a menu. And it's fine dining at the very top. So I would hope that there's a resistance to say 50 overs rubbish, let's get rid of that, we're just going to play 2020. I feel that there's room for all three.
Do you agree with that, Tony? Do you see one-day international cricket still being appealing to the masses if 2020 cricket is the more popular version?
Well, I think that the people are going to decide for us at the end of the day.
What's your guess, Tony?
Yeah, if they just pour in to watch 2020 because they love it so much, and they don't go and watch much of the 50 over format, or if that drops off a bit, then you'll see a bit of a swing. But we never want to let go. We never want to let go of anything. What we've got to do is we've got to try and refine the 50 over format a little bit. There are a few flat patches there, and there are some efforts being made to refine that. We've got to keep it going. And with the 2020 thing, you know, we don't want to overdo it. We've got to make sure that we ease it in nicely, and we keep an eye on it, and we make it a lot of fun. And hopefully, we can, as David has said, we can develop these three games together. And as a result, the overall cricket package will be better. But ultimately, I think that the shorter game is what the people are going to want.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, and people listening in. Just watch out for that first ever World Cup in 2020. Cricket that's taking place in South Africa, and you'll have some of the answers for yourself to see on your television screen. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on the Cricket Info Roundtable. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sanjay. Greggy, good to see you.
Cheers, Blind.
This is Cricket Info Talk.